Blog Talk Radio.
That caller's me.
It answers bloody phone then, but I turn this off. So it's dead, it's really dead low. That's it off. Answer the phone then.
Can hear you now.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is Ivor, this is Bill Kennedy. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Wonderful.
Not bad. What's going on over there?
Good. I'm sorry about having my radio on really loud, but I was waiting to get, obviously...
Oh, you're not dancing naked, are
naked.
You?
Sorry?
You're not dancing around naked, are you?
Of course I was.
Oh, okay. You're not showing the people out the window again, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And how's that going? How's that working for you?
Sorry?
How's that working out for you?
Working good.
Well, let me back up and tell Bill what happened.
Because obviously I'm missing something here between the two of you two.
Well, one night she has a problem with the people across the street, and the lady's always staring at her whenever
yeah.
she's in the house. So she decides. Right.
Dirty old bitch.
Decided to take her on, so you might want to elaborate on how she did that. Ask her.
Now you sound like you're a very shy little girl. Can you tell me how you confronted your neighbor? What did you do with your neighbor?
No, I never confronted her. She just confronts me whenever I go out the back door or look at the back window. She's always there looking at me. So I decided, like a couple of weeks ago, to flash at her. To teach her a lesson, yes.
Right.
And I don't care.
Has the romance decided to help?
Sorry?
Checking you out?
She always does. So I flashed at her.
How'd that go over?
You know, can I ask you, what part of Scotland are you from, please?
Just outside Edinburgh.
I have no idea where that is. Can you tell me another city, something so they might
recognize
it?
The capital of Scotland. The capital of Scotland is Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, yes, I know that.
That's
one,
where
yes.
I'm from. Just outside that.
Okay. Because of my travels and all that, I'm in England a lot, but then because my family's, well, I'm third generation Ireland, I'm over in Ireland, but somehow after England, I have to run over to Europe to do whatever business, and I've been five times through England, and I have not made it to Scotland. But I've made myself a commitment, a promise, that I will not be in London again without going up to Scotland.
Well, you make that promise.
I tell the whole world.
Scotland is the business.
Anything else? I want to go hear the Black Watch up there at the castle.
Yes.
I've got friends in that area there that keep saying, Bill. But unfortunately, sometimes I'm over there on business, and my business dictates... You only have so long in London, and now you got to be in the continent over there. But I would very much like to ease up there to travel through Scotland.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure Carrie will make arrangements to be a personal guide, and if you play your cards right and walk back to back, you might get flashed.
<Shut up. laughs>
Hey, now wait a minute. You said you wanted to call in and have a few laughs. So
remember this.
I'm
two
not
of
a
us.
Personal guide. I can say, yeah, that's way up there. No, not up. What I mean is up north.
Now I know the runs in, of course, Europe. I'm over there for the Super Rally intermittently. And I've been the big bike runs in London. Is there any one large run in Scotland that I should know about, maybe? And if so, can you tell me what type of year it is?
Hell no. Nope. Scotland's boring. Beautiful scenery, beautiful girls, as in moi. But nothing like rallies or things to do, honestly.
Have you heard of the Super Rally in Europe?
Nope.
Okay, so the reason I make the European runs is that we have the biggest run, of course, in Sturgis here in the same state, and we have Daytona in the same state, and then, of course, we have Las Vegas out here. And in Europe, every year they have the Super Rally in a different country. So whereas America, we keep on hold on everything, it's always in a different country. So I try to visit Ireland to see people.
Hey, Bill,
Somebody
just typed into the chat room. She said she's not a personal guide. But she did not deny flashing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dirty dog.
from Art out of Poway, and I think we have Merlin on the line.
Let me ask you,
yes.
Merlin. Let me ask you, what's the best month? Carrie,
well,
is Merlin on the phone talking to you? Merlin, what state are you in at this point in time?
Actually, I'm still in Arkansas.
He's traveling across America on a journey. He's trying to be Don Quixote and then fight the windmill. This is the greatest and last hurrah. As he calls it, the last motorcycle ride. This is truly a man of many different styles and personalities. Merlin, say hello to Carrie if you want, sir.
Hello, Carrie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hey,
Ken, how are you?
You know, I'm curious. Last week you were going to flash your neighbor. Did you do that?
Of course I did. That little bitch kept looking in my window, so of course I flashed her.
All right. I had no way of knowing.
I didn't actually.
You didn't actually. So now that I know you lied to me.
No, I'm a good girl.
Carrie, if I go over to Scotland, what would be the best month for me to travel weather-wise on the motorcycle? Arrive in London.
In Scotland, you've got no chance. We got promised like 23 degrees today, and we've got nothing. We're getting promised 26 degrees tomorrow, and I bet you we get nothing again. So I'm sorry, boys, but just come over with your...
Let's go over anyway.
What the hell? Live dangerously in Scotland.
Well, I don't mind living dangerously. I'm just a California wuss. I hate the cold weather. Every time I go to dumped on or something. So there's no one special month. You say pretty much as catch as catch can in Scotland weather-wise, huh?
The weather here in Scotland is really crap. We got told today we were getting 23 degrees. And we were all like that, had all our clothes off and shorts on and T-shirts on, and there was nothing like that. And now we're getting promised tomorrow is 26 degrees, and we've still got our clothes off, shorts on, you know what I mean?
Merlin, what's the weather like out there in Arkansas?
Actually, it's been in the mid to high 90s the last few days. The rain has stopped. Things are drying out.
Jealous.
We've been mowing lawns like mad. I took some real nice pictures of the streams and creeks around here. And the junkyards. Got some great junkyards. I got some beautiful photographs of 46 CAD and 47 Buicks in the junkyards. It's just been great. I went to a rally here, motorcycle rally here last weekend. One of 12 bikes to actually show up. And they got a couple of interesting games at the bike rally here. The slow race is typical, except that it's you just run against the time. The way they did it was one guy went out and did it against the time, point to point. So you're not head-to-head competition.
That's not the one where they were riding naked, is it?
No, that's a different game. They call that one Honey, I'm Home. Basically, you set up a window. The guy and his girl get on a mattress on one side of the window. The motorcycle is parked on the other side of the window. The guy takes his shoes off. The master of ceremonies says, Honey, I'm Home, starts the clock watch, or the stopwatch. And the girl has to get off of him. He has to put his shoes on, climb through the window, get on the motorcycle, and when the motorcycle peels out, they stop the clock. This one gets interesting.
Mm.
And I suspect it really gets interesting in a county that you can buy beer in.
Yes, yes, yes.
it's dry counties around here.
Oh, so I remember that now. Bring it all back to me. There is a place in Scotland... there's a place in Scotland called the Kilmarnock Rugby Park. Do you know anything about that motorcycle ride? Does that ring a bell, anybody?
Sure.
Carrie, does that ring a bell to you? I probably said that wrong. The Kilmarnock Rugby Park. They have a big bike run. You know what that is at all?
No.
We have some people telling us that'd be good for us to go to.
And they have another thing called Motherwell.
Yeah, I know where that is. Motherwell is just like 20 minutes away from me.
Okay, okay, that's where it's going to start. Is that?
And they have, it says here that they have a motorcycle training base. And they left from
Sorry.
And the person said they left from Lancashire.
Lancashire,
yeah. It's just about 20 minutes away from me.
Okay, all right. Because we're doing a little research. We're trying to find some places to go. It's a commitment I made to myself that...
what is... how far is Oban from you?
It's not Oban. It's Oban.
Oban? Okay. To Aviemore?
Yeah. And that's about 2 hours away from me. 3 hours.
Okay. What about Aviemore?
And it's beautiful. Sorry?
What about Aviemore?
Aviemore.
Aviemore?
Hey, we're tourists, girl.
Yeah.
We made it all wrong.
Aviemore is like a couple hours as well. It's got a skiing resort, but it's also absolutely beautiful. You will not even make it there because
and
you ride up there on your motorbike. It's absolutely amazing,
Drummond,
amazing scenery.
What is that? Drummond Drachit?
Sorry?
D-R-U-M-N-A-D-R-O C-H-I-T.
Drummond.
Goes down to Loch Ness and then Inverness.
To Inverness.
Anacoit. Oh, Inverness.
And then it goes...
Right, I have to write it down because the way you say... The way you even spell it was stupid. Right, go on.
Okay.
Say it again.
Well, it says, I'll skip
that
one.
That name.
I'll skip that one, but it says
it's on the way down to Loch Ness.
It goes, it's on the way to Loch Ness, to Inverness, to the Highland Capital, and then Aviemore, and then it says you can go to, for a stop in Fort Augustus.
Yep.
And then it's the Kasuk Bridge.
Kasuk, maybe?
And then Telok Caledonian Stadium.
And Bear Stadium?
The Telok Caledonian Stadium?
Tulok, maybe? Tulok? T-U-L-L-C-H? Tulok?
Telok Caledonian? No, Telok. And then it says it's the McDonald Aviemore Highland Resort.
Anyway, we might check.
I know what you're talking about now.
Good, okay.
Okay.
We may be heading over that way.
Absolutely fantastic, gorgeous up there. Seriously, gorgeous. You've got to visit there. It's absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
It really is.
You guys are going to have to check into real life touring gear, not wearing leather. You're gonna end up buying Tourmaster stuff to put up with the wind and the cold and the rain.
Exactly. You've got to do that anyway. Wear checks.
I'm sorry?
Bikes or trucks?
Bikes or
trucks?
Checks.
Yeah. I can see Bill on a trike on occasion, but...
It's not happened
maybe
yet,
you
though.
Want to...
It's been yet.
Down here, they got trikes that have training wheels.
Can
literally,
I be honest with you guys? I do not like trikes. I think they look totally gay.
Yeah.
Is that right to say that?
Yeah.
And
you
I can tell you why say that, because when I was at a clubhouse last year, I seen a woman, well, I think it was a woman, on the back of a trike. And she looked, and she was the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it put me totally off trikes forever.
Wow.
I tell people that have trikes, why don't you put one more wheel on it and have a convertible car? That's how I feel about that. If you have an injury, and you have to ride a trike, then God bless you for that.
Oh, you know what? I was trying to make you laugh, and you've just totally turned it into a injury thing.
You missed the ugly woman part. I mean, you got no problem with trike,
exactly.
Except to become attached with ugly women. You know.
Wait a minute.
Were you in Arkansas? That's my only question, because it seems a likely spot to hit exactly what you were talking about.
Exact. No, I wasn't. I was in the UK, and I seen this thing, on the back of the trike, and she had this headscarf thing on that swept her hair right back and made her ugly face look even bigger. And I'm sorry, but I'm not into trikes. She totally turned me right off of them.
Turned you completely off.
She bloody well did.
Out here in California, especially, we have to.
By the way.
Because we have to split the traffic on our motorcycles, we have to have streamlined motorcycles.
Anyway.
A trike simply would make it in California. The LA traffic, the Orange County traffic, and even the San Diego traffic is getting me to the point where we have to split that traffic hard. We could never survive on a trike, ever.
No.
No.
Can you have your woman on the back of your bike?
Yes.
Right.
Unless they ride their own,
when you've got a trike, it draws more attention to your ugly bitch. Oh, sorry. That's true, though.
Back end of the bike is big. The back end of the woman is big. Yeah, hell, it's all one lump back there. Jeez.
You were the wrong girl.
Well, maybe it's the kind of women trikes attract. I don't know. I want somebody who's stable.
I think the women that trikes attract are ugly and fat, to be honest. Because, see, the trikes, I hate them totally. I don't see no point in them.
Exactly. You might as well get a car.
Do you? Yeah. I think they're horrible. A trike.
I've seen more trikes here in the South than I have anywhere else.
Why do you think
fast women are ugly.
I'm trying real hard to see if I can argue against Carrie's comment, and I'm not sure I can. She may be absolutely right.
I am right, sweetheart.
It's something about the trike.
Philip knows I'm right.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
Don't you, Philip? You just bloody well agree.
I'm gonna play a quick song. And we'll be right back. So, but I'd like you guys to hang out because we gotta take care of something. We're gonna play this song real quick, and we'll be right back. And I think
God,
gonna be
another damn commercial.
Yeah,
another damn commercial, right?
Hey, we don't make nothing.
No, this is this.
No,
you
guys are as useless as I am.
That's right.
Yeah, and
with no future prospects.
He's not playing a trike song, so.
No. You'll enjoy this one, though. Just listen to this.
And the wheels of the bus go round and round.
No. Yeah, here you go.
Philip.
Yes.
Sing it. You kidding me?
Are we online?
Yes.
Yes,
just listen.
What?
I'm playing this song right now.
I love the song. Are we online? Philip.
Yeah,
hold on, I'll be right back. Enjoy the music for a second.
Thank you.
By who, Screwdriver?
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock did this one. All right. We're all back in line. Merlin, by the way, is going to tell you, my brother Michael just came back from mainland Mexico. He went down to Rocky Point with about 20 guys.
Yeah.
No bus. Real good ride.
Oh, nice.
Nice. We have, right now, Bill, we have Blue Sporty in Canada.
I've never heard Blue Sporty. She never speaks.
John from...
her name's Leslie.
Yeah.
And she's got a voice. Every week I call for you. You won't come out. You're always there.
Well, you can hang around, Bill. I'm sure she'll call. And then we have John from New Jersey, Terry Hardy, and Art from Poway.
Okay, well. As you know, we also have Merlin running around.
I'm from Scotland.
Yes, I was going to say yes. Huh?
You took the words right out of my mouth. We have
Merlin from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Merlin from Arkansas.
This week.
And we have Carrie Collin from Scotland.
Exactly.
And we also have, we've got Terry on the line, but...
did he use chicken yet?
Probably. We could ask him if you want me to unmute him.
Well, no, I want to
talk to
him. Otherwise,
we'll let him hang out for a
second. Blue Sporty there?
No, she didn't call in yet.
She didn't call in again. No. Leslie?
No, not yet.
Hey,
let's see if I can get her.
She was there for a second.
Let's see if I can get her to call in.
I had kind of a screwy thing today. Or yesterday.
Well, tell us what happened. First of all, how close are you to Rogers, Arkansas?
Rogers?
Merlin?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm in the north central portion of Arkansas. I think I'm about 20 miles south of the Missouri border.
Okay.
That's where you have to go for liquor, is go over to Missouri. And
really?
I don't know where Rogers. I don't know where Rogers is. I guess I got
one of my trips cross country. I stay there for a little bit. Nice people.
Yeah, the people are great. There's a guy here named Ron Stutter, and he's a ex Delta airline pilot, and has a house in Vegas, and he's been treating me royal as everybody does. And he said, you know, if you're going to stay around here a few more weeks or a month or so, he says, let's get you an apartment. And I'm going, I don't want it. He said, no. There's some real nice ones behind my place. So we go up and we drive by and take a look. And God, they really are nice. And he asks the lady that runs the apartment. She says, yeah, he's traveling around the country. He's got no money at all. And she says, that's exactly who we're looking for. And I went, what? No money, no income, and I'm who they're looking for?
With a face like
apparently
yours? Okay, go ahead.
I can file for... Arkansas relief, and they'll pay my rent and my gas and electric. He give me food stamps. And I'm going, oh God, it's interesting around here to say the least.
Merlin, last time in Arkansas, I was walking down the street, and I just bought a motorcycle from the deputy police chief. Not the police chief, the deputy police chief. It was a shovelhead. We're walking out to load it up and all that, and he said to me, what do you think of the town? I said, I think it's a beautiful town. At 9 o'clock at night, I saw a bunch of senior citizens in the park. Nobody seemed afraid of anything. I saw no graffiti anywhere at all, no street gangs. In fact, the teenagers were polite. This seems like a very nice place to raise your family. And the man
said, it is a very, very nice place. They have the same problems everybody else has.
Hang on, Merlin.
But
I got
very, very pretty.
Merlin, hang on. So then I said to him, he said, what's missing? I said, I don't know. He goes, look up in the hills, Bill. See a little smoke? And I said, yeah, is that hunting groups? He said, No, Bill, that's inbreeding. They're living up there in small little areas still to this day, and I'm thinking, he just said that. I'm walking downtown on the main street at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the deputy chief of police says, they're still living in small areas up there, Bill, inbreeding. It's not healthy. And I said, oh, lordy, lordy. I got to get back to California. Just want to share that with somebody. No disrespect to one of the people in Arkansas.
The area in Missouri where I was a couple of weeks ago, I had family in there for quite a while, and a lot of the people that still remain, I'm related to one way or the other. And it turns out that my great-great-grandmother was Jesse James' mother's aunt, or sister to Jesse James' mother, which I kind of figured went to explain quite a number of things. But,
You talking about Jesse James, who I was that wonderful girl, Sandra Bullock?
No.
No?
No,
Jesse
the other
James
Jesse
is
James.
With that
the one
Miami Heat star, Kate, or Kat?
Yeah.
That you talking
Frank
about, Merlin?
That's
Jesse James?
The train guy. He was involved with law enforcement and railroads for several years. Had a great career in transportation and law enforcement. disappeared. Not quite sure what happened to him. But you'll hit these little areas where everybody's related to everybody, and then you'll bump into some really, really short person, and she's related to everybody.
We have hello, Leslie, is that you?
That's me.
Hey.
Is this really Blue Canada?
It sure is.
I've been talking to you and so many times, so many weeks, I keep calling. I never can get through to you. I'm glad we can
I didn't
hear
have
voice.
A phone for a long time.
Okay.
We have Merlin on, who's in Arkansas. We have Carrie on in, from Scotland. And we have Blue Sporty from Canada. And in a few minutes, we're going to bring Terry out from Chicago, and we'll see what comes of all this.
I'd like to ask, Leslie, excuse me. Can I ask you a question, Leslie?
Okay, yeah.
And I'm a total stranger, so you don't have to answer if you don't want to. But...
Shoot.
Okay, I have a... limited experience being with women, but two of the women I did sleep with were from Canada, and both girls kept their socks on at night. And I asked them, do all girls in Canada do that? And they said to me, the floors are really cold. Now
that's right. My fucking floor is freezing. I got my socks on.
And I'm there shaking my chair. I didn't mean to be disrespectful on that. It's been bugging the hell out of me.
Straight out, she gave you a
straight
answer. Be careful what you ask for.
This is that type of motorcycle show. Yeah. We want to know these things. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Bill, your level of sophistication continues to amaze.
That bar down a notch every time I'm on the air. But I've got the answer to my question of many, many years, you know.
And then
you're going to die happy now.
So,
what part of Canada are you from, dear? Because we've been over a lot of part of Canada.
Where am I now? I'm on the East Coast.
Okay, give me a big city that I might know.
St. John.
St.
Right,
John? Yes, I know, but I've not been there.
I'm right central of St. John, Fredericton, and Moncton. Right smack in the middle of all
been there.
Cities.
Been there. It's gorgeous up there.
Well, okay.
Have you been over to the Calgary Stampede in, is it Regina, if I said that correctly?
In Alberta.
Alberta.
It's in Alberta, yeah.
Have you ever been to the Calgary Stampede?
Oh, years ago. I've been across the whole damn country.
Oh.
Now I'm retiring on the East Coast.
I always wanted to go from Sturgis up there, and I've never met the Calgary Stampede seems to come at a time when it's always inconvenient or improper. I just can't seem to make that. That's one of the things I always want to do about Canada.
You want to go to Stampede, hang out with all the cowboys?
Well,
he likes men in uniform. All them Mounties in their bright red uniforms. Just,
oh, yeah.
But this ain't Brokeback Mountain here. You know, I'm talking about the cowgirls.
No cowgirls.
Right.
We also have Robo Dog joining us from think it's the East Coast, Bill.
Hey, what dog, you on the air too?
No, he's not there yet.
Oh, okay, he's coming in. All right,
I sent him a message. Yeah. But, no, so, luckily, we have Carrie on, and she spoke
hey,
highly
Carrie.
Of you. And...
Oh, yeah, she's my girl.
Sorry, I was at the toilet.
Eh?
I was at the toilet, but I'm back.
Oh, you're at the toilet.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Listen, this show is in the toilet a lot, so we understand that. Don't worry about that.
Cool. I just stamped my feet, but I'm fine now.
Okay. Leslie, have you drifted down to Sturgis ever?
Not yet.
Sorry?
Okay.
Sorry?
Oh, it's...
No, yeah, I was asking Leslie about Sturgis, but anybody jumping anywhere you want to ask any questions?
I'm still raising some small ones up here. So.
Oh,
not quite free yet.
I will close my toilet door then.
Oh. Leave the toilet door open. We won't peek, will we, Merlin?
No.
No, I'm fine. I stamp my feet. No one's interested. So, fuck you.
Okay. I got to back up a second. Leslie, how do you know Carrie? Carrie, how do you know Leslie?
Oh, from Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Shut up. I can hear you laughing in the background.
That's me laughing. You just make me giggle, girl.
Uh-huh. I'm still telling
you
to shut
accents.
Up.
Yeah.
I'll wait in my bed, anyway.
That one.
Sorry?
This is from the internet. I've never been to Scotland.
Well,
oh,
you have
okay.
to learn to stamp your feet and play it good and ride good and ride hard. You know?
What do you stamp your feet for?
If there's no toilet roll in the toilet, you have to stamp your feet.
No.
Is that the
good?
I must be having a blind moment because I'm not getting it.
No, you're not getting it, sweetheart.
No.
I've heard of jumping up and down to see if your underwear had good elastic.
He knows what I'm going on about. Phil knows about stamping feet, I think.
Do you? Sounds like a Scotch thing to me.
It's Scottish. No, it's not Scottish. If you go to the toilet, yeah? And there's no toilet roll
yeah.
there. You have to stamp your feet.
Well, you stamp your feet because there's no shit paper. Yeah.
That's what I said. You got to dry up.
It's about doing a pee. It's a girl thing.
But, what I'm going to do is...
You know what? You've just killed the joke.
What I'm going to do is... I'm going to bring Terry on real quick.
Yes,
on
for God's sake.
Okay, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on this guy right now. Hello, Pete, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hang on one second, Pete.
Cool.
I want you to listen to what we're going to talk about, and then I'll let you talk about what's going to happen this weekend, okay?
Okay, great.
All right. Hello, Terry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey,
Popeye chicken. Good for you, brother.
Yeah, man, gotta have it.
We lost Merlin and we lost Carrie.
They went off together?
I guess. Maybe they went to stamp their feet.
Merlin's living the life.
Carrie, I brought you on and I wanted you to elaborate a little on the World of Soul MC and let everybody know what's going on. We have Blue Sporty out of Canada. And we have one of our good friends, Pete Avila, up in the L.A. area. And he's going to talk about something right after you're done.
He's a producer, he's a photographer, he's a director, he's a little bit of everything. But
that's correct.
He'll be telling us some good information, what's coming up.
Right.
And he's our friend, too.
Yeah. So the chair is yours, Terry.
Blue Sporty, Pete, great to meet you.
Hi there. It's Pete Alva, by the way, not Pete Alvala.
Very good. And as always, Phil and Bill, thanks for having me on the show. Ride for Change, Ride for Hope is an initiative of World of Soul Motorcycle Community. It's an association of motorcycle clubs and independent riders from around the country, and we're seeking to have everybody get engaged on issues that matter by creating a group of folks that would not ordinarily come together, taking the motorcycle community to places that it would not ordinarily go, and accomplishing some community goals in a manner that would not ordinarily embark upon. And that's with the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope project. It's an ongoing awareness campaign that culminates with a motorcycle event in cities around the country. It started back in 2008 here in Chicago, called Ride for Change, Ride for Hope once again. Now, actually, it was called Bikers for Obama, Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, to be quite honest. And, of course, that was a time and place that created a large amount of pride within the African-American community. But the programmatic piece that we wanted to put in place to help boost participation in the electoral process was to encourage folks to register to vote. Historically, the African-American participation at the polls is in the 40th percentile. And we thought this would be a good opportunity to encourage folks to register to vote and get out.
Right, let me stop it there for a second, because we've heard those numbers so many times. Mm-hmm. What do you think the factor is why the votes stay so low? We have mass media out. We have celebrities talking. We have athletes talking about it. We get teachers in school talking about getting out to vote. Why do you think today the numbers are still low?
I'm glad you asked that question. I think that those numbers are low because it represents the athlete that's there within the community. I think across the board, especially in some segments of the African-American community, blacks don't feel like they are part of the process. And it really comes down to being in a country but not being an American, because that's part of the process. So we're in the mode of trying to help folks to appreciate that we are part of this country. And we
let me ask this question too. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry walking on you. Would you say there's a difference between the male and the female? Are the women getting out and voting more and the men are not voting more? Or do you have any statistics on that? Or how do you give me the response on that, please?
I don't have any statistics on that other than the fact that, and I think that this plays a role in it too, that 30 to 40% of African-American males are graduating high school, which means that 60 to 7% are not. And because education is the foundation of all movement, that could play a role. And I would assume that in that case that women may be participating more than men. We also know that there are more African-American males in prison than there are in college. And those are all trends that we need to reverse. And those really aren't black issues. They're not white issues. Those are really American issues, because if we have segments of the society that are not productive, then we have segments of society that have to be supported. And they have to be supported by means of governmental assistance, which weighs down our whole country. I hate to say it like that, but that really is the truth. So we need to raise the bottom up so that everybody can be productive and we can move our country forward. As the bottom comes up, we all come up.
Terry, I know you're not writing off the adult male, but do you think that we really have to focus on changing the children, getting to the children? And, of course, education is the key to everything in my mind. Education will get you out of everything. But do you think that focusing more on the children today is more productive? We can't turn our backs on the men, especially the veterans and all that, but do you think we should really put the emphasis on trying to let the children know the future is theirs for taking if they educate themselves?
Yes, most definitely. As a matter of fact, that's priority number one for us. You know, we think that children need mentors, but we also think that adults need mentors too in order to create the proper example for the children. It really comes down to it. A lot of the issues that we have in the community as relates to the bad statistics as far as the education is concerned has a lot to do with the images in which we're projecting out there, which drives the kids away from education and more so to pursuit of materialism and other pursuits of fame and fortune without putting in the hard work of getting their education first.
Terry, without bad-mouthing our American athletes, do you think that basketball, football superstars, there's so few of them, sending out like almost a false hope to our youth that Jordan, be a football player, be a baseball. There's so few jobs. You think that really that's not the best roles we should have, and we should have more CEOs of corporations reaching out to our youth and saying, they're the example. You want to run a bank, you get a job as a teller. You work your way up. You can do this. Or do you think that the American athlete is the best role model?
No, I think by far the American athlete is the worst role model, because we're talking about athletic prowess as the road to success versus academia or intellectual capacity. So we think that education, first and foremost, is the key. Those having education being more capable of providing the types of role models that are necessary to move more people forward. And we're not talking about people that with PhDs, master's degrees. We're just talking about people that will simply finish a college education, go out, not a college education, but a high school education at minimum, and put themselves in a position where they are able to sustain themselves in their own communities. And when the kids come out to play or on their work to school, on their way to school, they're able to see some images of other folks going to work or employing other people, and not going to the liquor store, going to the basketball court, things of that nature. Those are all images that point our kids in a different direction. So we're looking
at that statement was the fact that you can be a ball player or whatever, and your future is short. But I've always been told that if you have the degree, they can never take that away from you. So you always will be all around it. So I tell people, education, education. Those few people that can be superstars, God bless, it's such a limited job offer. Can I put you in over a second, Terry? Anybody else like to talk to Terry about, ask him any questions about what he's doing out there? We're all live. Anybody jump in if they want. Guess you're intimidating them, Terry.
Well, you know, I think more than anything else, it's that statement that I made about reconciling the issues that we have in the community by reconciling the images that we're putting out there. That's one of the things that the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope Project is really seeking to accomplish this year by directing folks back to their cultural and social and cultural heritage. This 11th of June will be in Virginia, Portsmouth, Virginia, culminating at Fort Monroe, also known as Fortress Monroe. And back in, what makes this place so significant, back in 1611, that's where the first slave ships arrived here in the United States, right there at Fort Monroe. That's where the first child of African descent was born here on American soil, right there. During the Civil War, slaves were running away, and they were finding refuge there at Fort Monroe. That's how it became known as Fortress Monroe. And upon their successful arrival there, they were granted their freedom. That's known as the contraband slaves, is what they were called.
An interesting fact that these people escaped to Canada, escaped to Mexico to be free, and yet here we are in America saying, land of the brave, you know, we're all about great, great things, and yet we, the most simple thing of all, having some person as your slave, they thought this was normal, yet the people in Mexico with very low education, they wouldn't conceive of something like that. Mexico couldn't conceive of something like that. I always have to wonder, our forefathers, I'm going to put it very basic, what the hell are you guys thinking?
Okay.
How can this possibly be possible? And yet, how could Mexico, poor people, how could Canada embrace everybody? I always wondered about that.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you should mention that, though, and not to say that the United States was alone in the use of slaves. Folks from Africa or people of African descent involved in the slave trade, they landed in countries or nations around the world.
We had Haiti, we had Cuba, we had a lot of countries they landed in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, you know, America was a high consumer of slave labor.
Yeah, but the Arab states were heavily involved in that, the buying and selling like that. This is just a phenomenon, like kind of like to me, like Hitler. How could people not say, what the hell's going on? And, of course, we did the abolitionists that did say, hey, there's a problem here, but such a global problem, as you point out, not just America, a global problem.
Right.
Why couldn't we have people say, hey, what the hell's going on here? Great guys like, Frederick Douglass. There was a great people stepped in there, but people across America stepped up. But to have such a crisis of a problem just seems bizarre to me. Being from Ireland, we've always been, the English took away our language. They took away kilts. They took away the bagpipes. And we were indentured servants. It took 200 years to break free. And only 5 years ago, they started putting the Gaelic signs up on the street signs. So I'm not talking about just slavery to the Africans. I'm talking about slavery worldwide.
Right.
What the hell's going on?
I think that says a lot about humanity as a whole.
Right. Terry, listen, Terry, I want you to put your whole second there, and I want to bring Pete Avila in, one of the hottest new commodities in California. He's got something to talk about, very important. Terry, please feel a comment after. And don't lose us. We'll get back to you again.
One of the things that Pete's doing, Terry, is he's making a movie about the biker lifestyle. And I'll let Pete elaborate on that.
He's a little shy, but producer, director, photographer, he's a little bit of everything.
Right, and I'm sure down the road we can get you guys connected, and maybe you can talk Pete into going to Vegas for in August for that.
We'll meet up with Mimi and stuff over
right.
there.
Right, yeah, we talked to Mimi today, as a matter of fact.
Terry, you're not going back to the roundup in Vegas, are you? Terry, you still with us?
Guess we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him.
Okay. Pete, back to you again. Can you tell us a little bit of what else? Pete is a friend of ours, but I got to tell you, he's not one to toot his own horn, so he's about 180 degrees different than Bill Kennedy. Pete, would you tell us a little bit about all the projects you're working on, then tell us about the big event this weekend, please. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Joe, brother.
Sure. Anyway, my name's Pete Alva, not Avila. You guys always call me that. And you can go to my website if you like for my biggest project, which is I'm making a documentary film about motorcycle riders and the lifestyle, but that's coupled with the motorcycle event. So the motorcycle events is actually the centerpiece of the whole movie. It'll be a major motion documentary and be released in a theater sometime in 2012. And it will go to DVD probably about 6 months later. So and when the DVD comes out, it'll be action-packed with a lot more footage, like biker babes and biker builders, more shots and scenes from motorcycle events throughout the country. I'm basically traveling around the country filming major events like Sturgis, South Dakota, and Laconia in New Hampshire, bike events in New York and Florida and Texas and Arizona, California, you name it. And the more the merrier. We just want to be a fair shake across the country and what I show in the film. And the biker events are bigger than ever now, and they're pulling in a lot of people, and they're a lot of fun, and a lot of people have had a lot of fun over the years. And this is a growing tribute to the motorcycle event realm. And I'm basically in production right now, and I will be at Rip's Bad Ride on June 5th, this Sunday, and that is in Oak Canyon Park in Orange, California. And Rip's Bad Ride has been around, what now, Bill? About 14 years, it looks like?
Yes, brother. Yeah,
and
Rip and I, of course, Steve Shapiro did everything initially, but Rip's dream was to help people because of diabetes. Back to you, Pete.
Yeah.
I'm off.
Yeah, the bands that got lined up is Lee Rocker from the Stray Cats, and then you got Creedence Relived, Creedence Clearwater Tribute, and Rising Water, which is, I don't know what they do, but I assume they're good if they're going to play there. Bad Ride has always exceptionally had a lot of great bands playing there, including the Fry Brothers, which has just been appearing in their film I Ride, which is going to be pretty big too, coming out. I'm also helping with that. I Ride is not my movie. I didn't produce it. It was produced by Darren Kerr. And we're going to have another showing in Southern California pretty soon, and the film is expected to go in some theaters.
within a couple of months and have a DVD release too. So we're going to have some extra special showings in Orange County again coming up. I'll tell you about that more as the weeks go by. But anyway, back to the Bad Ride. That's Sunday, June 5th, and that's from, 10 o'clock to 4 p.m. in Oak Canyon Park in Orange. And you can win a Harley-Davidson bike there. You have some great lunch with your admission. It's $35 to get in, which includes lunch, a riding pin, and a few other goodies. And anyway, the proceeds go to the Cure for Diabetes. And it was started by Rip, of course, who used to be with Easy Riders magazine. And unfortunately, he passed away from diabetes years later after he started it. But the ride has lived on in legacy for him since then. So I look forward to filming this event for my movie. I've already filmed it once, and I'm going to film some extra footage again. And I look forward to seeing you there, Bill, if you're going to be there. I understand there's a couple of other events going on there, which are interconnecting with the schedule. And I know that Phil is probably going to the Hells Angels run out in Ventura, I believe, right?
San Fernando Valley.
No, we'll be at the Bad Ride.
Okay.
We can't be everywhere. But
this is a commitment we made. And actually,
right.
We have a big run out of my shop at the Vietnam Vets the same day. But this is a commitment I made. You know, Pete, every time I'm on stage, they're always telling me, Bill, you're going on and on and on. The event shuts down at 4 o'clock. Do you know what they're doing, Pete? They put me on at 3:30. They're going to get me off that stage one way or the other. 4 is on at 2:30. They yell, Bill, wrap it up. Yeah, they've given up.
So it's going to end at 5 o'clock instead.
3:30, and at 4 o'clock it's over.
we have.
Oh, boy.
And we have...
I'm glad you're going.
We have Terry back on the line. Are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am. Got booted off somehow there.
Yeah.
Pay your bills, buddy.
No, it's not.
Right.
No, it's happening to us, Bill. But, Terry, this is...
I'm on the phone, Mom, okay?
And
we're good. We're still good.
Still good. And Pete, this is Terry out of Chicago. He's with the... go ahead, Terry. Introduce yourself.
Hey, Pete, I'm with the World of Soul Motorcycle Community and also Ride for Change, Ride for Hope Foundation. We have our signature project, which is called Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, an ongoing awareness campaign focusing on issues significant to the community, culminating in cities around the country.
And what go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, we've got our event coming up here June 11th down in Portsmouth, Virginia, leaving out of a Bayside Harley-Davidson, culminating at Fort Monroe there in Hampton, Virginia, Fort Monroe being the place where African slaves arrived here in the United States for the first time in 1619. And we just want to raise some awareness about this little-known history fact.
The reason I wanted to introduce you to guys is in August, Pete, they're going to have about 30,000 bikers in Vegas. And
well, Terry's not coming, though.
Yeah, I think Terry's going.
Terry's not going to be in Vegas to round up, are you?
Well, yeah, I got to be there. We're having a Ride for Change, Ride for Hope there in Las Vegas, focusing on the Moulin Rouge, which was a black hotel, first black hotel there in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to introduce you.
So we need to hook him up with Mimi, though, then.
Right.
Yeah. Mimi's got the big thing going like that. So sometime after the program, maybe you can hook him up with Mimi's address so she can meet him and all that stuff with that. Good. You got Kim.
Well, Mimi's a member of World of Soul, and she's also a member of the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, a member of Board of Directors.
Well, then I guess we're not going to have to deduce you, are we? Okay.
No. No,
show off. I know people everywhere, Bill. I know everybody. Okay, Terry, go ahead.
We take this ride to, if you travel along America's highways, you cannot go a couple of hundred miles without, it would seem, running across some place of historical significance in this country. And every one of these places...
I thought you were going to say run into a couple of cops. They want to give you a hard time.
Let me ask Terry a question. Do you know the story of the Easy Rider motorcycles? Terry, let me ask that question first. Do you know who built the Easy Rider motorcycles? From the movie Easy Rider?
His last name was Hardy.
Very good. Very, very good.
Right.
Do you know what happened to him in the end? You know where he lived and where he died?
I believe he was from Los Angeles. Where did he die?
He ended up down in Ensenada living on a boat. Never collected anything. One of his good friends, and my very good friend, is Sugar Bear. Did you ever heard of Sugar Bear before, Terry?
Yeah.
Sugar Bear Shoppers. I'm going to ask you to look them up.
Right.
One of the phenomenal bike builders in America today. I like the guy an awful lot. But here's another guy that Sugar Bear never got his respect due to him because in the early days they wouldn't put a black bike builder in the magazines. I'm sure that Pete knows that from being in the industry so long. He built such good motorcycles that they would intermittently put his name but wouldn't put his picture. What a strange world we live in.
Yeah, that was not only a social injustice, but an economic injustice. Right.
I spoke to Sugar Bear. In fact, he's going to be at the Bad Ride, by the way. I've convinced him and asked him to please come down as one of our judges. I was up at his party a while back, and I asked him, all these young guys, the new guys coming in, Jesse James, et cetera, say a few names. Does he feel bad that they're getting all the money, they're getting all the fame, and only now is he starting to get the recognition? And he said to me, and this is probably one of the most powerful things I heard, he said, Bill, I'm a motorcycle bike builder. If I was the filthiest, richest man in the whole world today, I would still be building motorcycles. I don't have a single complaint in the world. I thank God that I have the strength to keep doing what I want to do. I thought, there's a man that... And yet he has no animosity for anything except he wants to continue building motorcycles at his age. So that's the type of people we need in this country.
I agree.
Certainly.
And
we should put a little bit of that in my film, too, about that subject.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to get you guys together tonight. And
if I blindsided you, Pete, I apologize.
We kind of egged Terry on to call in earlier.
Oh, no, it's not a problem. I've got to get going in a couple sec, but I just want to say let's get our information together for both of us, and
I'll look forward to
seeing you guys at the Bad Ride.
I'll send both of you each way.
Perfect.
And we'll
okay,
see,
you guys,
we'll...
I'm going to get you going. So I will call in again next week, okay, and tell you how everything went.
Okay, thank perfect.
You. Okay.
Bye, Sanji.
Have a great radio show. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you now.
He's kind of a shy guy. He was nervous about coming on, but he's a real good guy.
Well, Pete, we've had to drag Terry on. He's doing an awful lot, but he doesn't really want to kind of get out and toot his own horn. Again, completely unlike Bill Kennedy. That guy doesn't ever let keep talking. Pete, another man that would like you sometime to get to meet or some talk or just even if you're sending texts back and forth. An interesting man doing an awful lot out there in Chicago. Pete, you still with us?
No, Pete's...
No, shoot, Ray, I'm talking to nobody.
No, you're right, talking to Terry and you're talking
Terry's
to
here.
Leslie.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're talking to Terry and Leslie.
Okay, I know, too. Yeah, okay, then, yeah.
You can ask Leslie how she feels about this.
Leslie? Are you still with us? Canada?
Today with my kid, and it was about the Crips and the Bloods, but it was a documentary thing, right? And they were talking about way back in the 60s how the cops were treating them guys and how they became what they are today. And then if you look at what they went through back in the 60s and up, that's exactly what they're doing to the bikers now.
Exactly. If you look at our history, when each race of immigrants came to America because of outside brutality from other Americans and police departments that had come together... In the early days, they were called social clubs. Then they became cliques, da-da-da-da. Every single race of immigrants coming to this country has had to pull together for salvation.
Right.
Or else they'd have been lost.
So that's what they were saying in the thing. Eventually, they just had to fight the cops. You know, when the cops push, they push back. You know,
exactly.
Probably what has to happen again today.
Do we really repeat the same processes over and over again, or do
well,
we really
everybody's
create some
gotta group together and stop
for some real change and hope?
You got to stop it.
Right.
Take
but how do we
the
stop
the power out of the law?
Okay. And you put the power back into the people's hands.
Into the people.
I mean, I like that.
Some people are, you know, like I've been to lots of parties where there's 1,000 people there, and just the people there can maintain a calm, keep everybody calm. You know, there's no outbursts or fights and stuff like that. I mean, people can govern people. You don't always have to be police for every, you know. Every time you get together with somebody, you don't need 100 cops around making sure you're all good. You're not going to be misbehaved.
Like Sunday, this Sunday coming, we'll have almost 45,000 people there.
So 45,000.
Oh, 45,000. I'm sorry.
I exaggerated this. Sorry.
And we'll have anywhere from 50 to 100 cops there.
But we'll be taking care of our problems ourselves. We have a party at Kennedy's.
Don't need all them cops there. They just make it worse.
We pull about 500 people at my shop, and we have a party. We've never had a cop ever. We ask the club people to take care of themselves. We've had them at the party was. But what you just said was so important because we don't need them there. Sometimes their very presence agitates the situation.
That's right.
I don't mind if a cop car drives through and waves at the crowd. That's just telling everybody, like, chill out for a second. I don't want the police there because, again, sometimes that just pushes the problem right over the edge. So we believe at our parties in Oceanside, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, no cops.
Yeah.
We think people can be more respectful to each other. And sometimes the police, I said, they just push people over the edge.
Well, they like to bump into you and aggravate things, you know what I mean? Like, they just stir it up, and then they say, you did it. Where if they just were out of the picture, you know, you want to catch somebody drinking and driving, go wait down the road somewhere, you know? They don't have to be right there.
Well, when we're at those kind of parties at Bill's, there is no refreshments.
No, my motorcycle shop is located from two blocks from two different bars. Two blocks east of me is a bar, two blocks north of me is a bar, west of me is a bar. I tell everybody, stay here, party, have a good time. You feel the need for a drink, just go two blocks down. I do not want falling down drunks at my party because that's where guys should fight. Go down the bar, be a fool. I don't mind. I'm not your mom. I'm not your minister. I don't ever tell people not to drink. At our big parties, I say, you want to leave for a drink, go two blocks down to the bar. Have a few drinks, come back. If you're shit-faced, stay at the bar. I don't want you back at the party. That's the way I have to control the situation.
Well, that's a good way. I don't drink, so I don't care about that shit. I like to be able to blast off wherever I am when I want.
I don't drink either, but I'm going to tell you, I simply cannot force my feelings on other people. People want to drink. I don't mind that. I want them to drink in a safe place. So you're not going to drink at my parties. 500 people is too many people there. Go down to the bar and have a drink. I always leave an outlet in my house today. I have a fully stocked bar. I choose not to drink. I don't have any AA problem or AA or NA or anything. You come to my house to drink, you're an adult, I would give you a drink. I would not want you to leave my house drunk. But say you have dinner and you want a glass of wine, your boyfriend wants a beer, I'm not a hypocrite. Have a drink. Use and abuse, I tell people. I choose to have iced tea when I go to your house. You want to have a beer. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother my friends. I will not hide from alcohol. I have it in my house always.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with alcohol either. I just stopped drinking it a long time ago and never, I don't know. I know it's not important to me, you know what I mean? I don't need a drink to have a good time.
Are you hearing about this alcohol situation we're talking about? The fact that we're trying to restrict alcohol from our get-togethers out here and yet still leave some type of an outlet? How are you handling some of your parties out there?
Well, you know, we don't do parties, that's quite honest, so we don't run into those situations. Our thing is pretty much social, but on an educational basis. We support other folks' parties and attend them. And it really
how do they
is
handle the
is.
Parties
they
there?
The thing that, you know, it's at liberty. Everybody do their own thing, and it's drinking to you and until you don't want any more, unfortunately. It's not policed sometimes as well as it should be. And as a result of that, you know, bad things happen on motorcycles. And I'm glad to hear that you say that, you know, you take the responsible road, and but still giving them the opportunity to have something to consume, but not there in the midst of your people.
No, and there's been situations where we've been at a bar and we've taken keys or let air out of tires, and it's easier it's easier to pick a guy up the next day and bring him back than it is to carry him a week later.
I'm going to tell everybody why I have such a limited time in bars. I'm in at least three bars every single week, but I only stay about 15 minutes. I got to tell you why. This is absolutely true. Everybody wants to buy me a drink. That's fine. I can only drink one Pepsi or one orange juice. That's all I can take. Now, the second thing that bugs me so much is everybody wants to walk up. They want to hug me, thank me for something. They want to tell me they love me. And the sad thing is it's only guys doing this. I keep telling everybody, send your old lady over. Have her tell me. Guys want to hug me in bars and tell me, oh, I love you, bro. I don't want to hear this.
Right.
That's why I stay about 15 minutes and screw it, everyone knows. I got to go. I can't take that.
And Terry, I just sent you Pete's email address in the chat.
Well, you know,
Terry,
we're glad to have some of the members with programs that own towing companies. And what they will do on a weekend, especially the holidays, they will offer a free tow if you're intoxicated. And those are good programs because guys are going to go out and party. But to have a means to safe passage back home, someone takes the keys.
We do that too. Sometimes there's enough guys around. Somebody's always there with a truck, and we'll help them out. As well as when the cops are sitting outside the bar, you know, the few guys that do drink or whatever. And Bill's favorite thing is, I leave, let them follow me, and then you guys can leave and go the other way.
You know, Terry, some of our big bike runs, I contact some of the tow truck companies, and I can't guarantee them a nickel. But I ask them if they want to follow us on the run, there are going to be people that need their services. So we pretty much always have free towing, and they give these guys a discount to get them back home again. So it's kind of incentive. That way I don't have to have guys in trucks and cars. So the tow truck companies are very, very positive about doing it. They may pick up on a big run three or four bikes. This thing we're going to this weekend, thousands of bikes are going. Everybody's going to make a dollar. I'm not against that. So we try to coordinate that too. Pretty much I try to dot all the I's and cross the T's. I want you to have a good time. If you go for a ride with us, I inspect the motorcycles. Now here I am a hard ass. I inspect the motorcycles. If your bike is not roadworthy, I'm going to ask you to get out of the line. Go to the back. When the last bike leaves my shop, give us about a minute. You can follow behind us. I will not put an unsafe vehicle in the middle of the pack and have some yahoo, man or woman, take out one of my brothers. That's never going to happen in my life. If your bike is not roadworthy, I make the decision. If you get an attitude with me and all that.
Well, he can ride by the tow truck, huh?
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and did you get that message I sent you, Pete's address, in the chat?
I'll check. I've got to get back on.
Yeah, if you would, I'll send it to you again. But, we need to get you guys together. And Leslie, I extend to you, I know what happened this week up in Canada, and it's a good thing so far. Yeah, it's been a good week.
Been a good 2 weeks, actually, two provinces. Two provinces are winning the battle.
Well, Canada's always been a Wild West time. My trips to Canada, was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. When I first crossed the border, they used to treat me like I was some lunatic or something.
They're just fucking terrible. What do you mean?
I'm a foreigner. I'm coming into your country. Say hello. No. On the motorcycle, they made every entrance into Canada miserable for me. Absolutely miserable, I got to tell you.
They're horrible guys, them guys.
I mean, they arrested 136 guys, Bill, in 2009.
156, I think. 156 guys in Quebec for something that was done a decade previous.
Right.
That's such a horrible situation there, you know? Like, them poor guys have been locked up for 2 years.
Yeah, they still have that little tent city next to the courthouse, don't they?
Hey?
They still have that tent city next to the courthouse, don't they?
I think they built a whole, they built a whole new court building, you know what I mean?
People have to do
a whole special thing for this thing, but what's happening is all their prosecutors, they're bitching, they went on strike, then they forced them back in. They're not getting enough money. I think what they're playing with is they're playing with a losing case, and they don't like it.
Right.
You know, they don't want to play anymore. So,
right.
So you're going to probably see that eventually, as they got that fucking bill out there that gives them the right to hold these guys up to 5 fucking years. So they got 5 years of dick with all of them, and then just let them go eventually. They got 5 years of their life, you know what I mean? They get to go for nothing, but they still dicked them around for 5 years. That whole bill's got to go.
Very high price to wear for putting something on your back. It's something we suggest everybody consider all of their options before you put something on your back. It's you see these motorcycles wearing patches, and it's all cool and all that. We remind everybody, especially all the young people, talk to other patch holders. Look at what your future is, because I'm going to tell you for a fact, it's a bumpy road.
It's harassment, complete.
You know, that's another point of awareness that's so important in the motorcycle community. What do these patches mean? You know, a group of guys get together and all of a sudden they throw a 3-piece patch on. Next thing you know,
brothers.
Next thing you know, they find themselves in hot water. That could all be alleviated.
These people starting a motorcycle club are not doing their homework. Therefore, they're not showing respect to the established motorcycle club. So you cannot put 2 roosters in 1 hen house without getting some bad, you know, blood. They have an organization. We call it Confederation of Clubs. They need to talk to people established. You cannot just go out and start a club when other clubs have gone through a lot of hoops to establish their club. Starting a club overnight is an absolute insult to clubs that have worked very hard for their name and reputation. And they don't want amateurs making that name worse. On the other side of the hand, all these motorcycle clubs, at least they're keeping the police busy, nobody knows who belongs to what and all that.
Right.
But it goes back to, again, nobody should start a motorcycle club until they sit down and talk to the people. You cannot show disrespect to people that have been around.
You gotta talk to the big boys, yeah. See what's what and what they can do.
Respect. That's all you're asking.
Right. You know, speaking of respect, Bill.
Yes.
I have this little
I know you do. That's your girlfriend told me.
Yeah, okay. I have this little vignette I wanna play by maybe you wanna introduce it.
Yeah, my glasses on. You start, I'll jump in.
It's by John Wayne, Bill.
Oh, John Wayne, I won't be wronged. This is a nice little Wayne.
I won't be insulted. I won't be laid a hand on. I don't do these things to other people. I require the same from them.
I have in the past referred to my favorite saying by Benjamin Franklin. I got him. Wait a second now. Yes, it was Benjamin Franklin, a great statesman, who said...
Wasn't this one, Bill?
Oh, God, no. Your right stop... with the tip of my nose starts. Benjamin Franklin said that.
You sure wasn't this one?
No.
I know. I'm going to use good judgment. I haven't lost my temper in 40 years. But, Pilgrim, you caused a lot of trouble this morning. You might have got somebody killed. And somebody ought to belt you in the mouth. But I won't. I won't. The hell I won't.
Well, John Wayne's superstars, but again, going back to Ben Franklin, your right stop with tip of my nose starts. I will listen to you. I'll give you every opportunity to say what you want to say. Once you physically touch me, you know what? There's no respect showed, and it's on. I live my life by that. Never, ever threaten a weaker person, but you have to make a stand against bullies, and that's a fact. But I will listen to everything you say until you touch me.
I don't know if I let somebody get as close as my nose. Close as my arm length. It's my area.
You're obviously a lot smarter than I am. I've got a lot of bruises. and my hands are broken. My fingers, yeah. I never said I was the sharpest knife in the draw.
Yeah, arms length around. However far my arms reach around, that's personal space. So anybody inside that is fair game.
Well, you know, Bill, this one reminds me of you sometimes.
Shy and quiet?
Yeah. And you guys, I think you guys will enjoy this. This is kind of my little synopsis how Bill handles himself.
You're going to smoke a cigarette while the show's on the air?
Good morning, Daddy. 10 years, I think.
9 years and 4 months. You're welcome to come along, son.
I am moved by your faith in someone you haven't seen since he was 16 years old. Daddy.
Daddy?
Daddy.
Daddy. Well, son, since you haven't learned to respect your elders, it's time you learned to respect your betters.
Show. I said I'm on this radio show and your name came up. So,
hey, Terry.
If I knew you. Hold on for a second.
Terry.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, well, we're listening to your conversation, too.
Oh, are you?
I mean, we've been called a lot of things, but a damn radio show, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's a new one, Bill. I like that one.
That episode we're talking about Daddy in the clip there. My name is Bill. If you wish to call me William, that's fine. Nobody calls me Billy. And I just really have to point that out to people. I can remember being in the fourth grade, teacher calling me Billy, and I stood up and I said, please call me William or Bill. And to this day, and I'm a lot older than that now, no, there's some things a man wants to be called a certain way, and I do not wish to be called Billy. That's why Scooter put that on. I would definitely Billy in this room here.
Yeah. But I'm going to call you back. That's the reason why I said that.
No worries.
All right.
Radio show. That's twice, guys.
Hey?
What are you listening
to? I'm sorry?
What are you listening to?
What, us right now? We're
listening
to you.
What's the noise?
That was Leslie's kids.
Marvetta Faulkner. Mimi.
Right. Yeah, we talked to her earlier.
That was Leslie's kids.
Yeah, we just heard Leslie's kids.
Okay, sounds like... Oh, okay. It sounds like someone's television or something like that.
No, that's her kids in the background.
Well, you know, we're having the damnedest time, guys, in Las Vegas. And that's why I had to reach out to Mimi while we were on the phone. And
sure.
That damn radio show is a good pitch because that damn radio show is the lone voice that we have right now and getting the word out to the community in areas that we don't have a reach in at this point. So we appreciate
right.
that.
Did you tell her to call in?
The piece is that change
her
and hope,
to call
man.
In.
Say it again.
Give her the number to call in.
Oh, she knows. She's got the number. Here, let me text
okay.
her real quick.
Work already.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, no, maybe went to work.
Is she at work or?
Yeah, she's at work.
Yeah, matter of fact, she does work nights. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
No. I guess we didn't tell you, did we? We all know about it.
No, I heard.
We don't tell you everything.
That. I thought she said it was
we
later.
We don't tell you everything that goes on.
No, I thought she said it was later. Go ahead.
Change and hope is a real battlefield, and Bill, this is no joke. Because not a lot of people want change, and not a lot of people care about hope. But
no,
I'm here to tell you
this.
Fact.
Afraid of it.
I'm sorry?
They're afraid
yeah, they
of
are
it.
Afraid of it. Everybody's afraid that they'll lose their position, regardless of what that position may be. And it's crazy. It does require some movement on all of our parts. Stagnation creates communal frustration. And that's where we are as a nation. So it's going to
well,
create
that's,
some movement.
That's one of the reasons, that, not to interrupt you, but that's one of the reasons we want to get you involved with Pete, because he's making this movie, and I think that would be a good piece to it, and he agreed.
Yeah, good piece. And I sent him an email, and I'm looking forward to getting a reply and having some dialogue with him. I've
yeah.
reached out to a lot of people with this Ride for Change, Ride for Hope project. You know, Reverend Jackson was on board. We partnered with the King family in Atlanta, Georgia, back in 2009. Folks over at the Civil Rights Museum sent Billy Kiles, who was on the balcony when Dr. King was assassinated. A lot of folks are on board with this project, and would like to see some real movement in a manner that speaks well of the nonviolent social change movement that Dr. King brought forward. And that's really what this thing is all about. It's about creating some social change and addressing the issue of violence, because all of the issues that we're having, it seems to stem around the issue of violence. And that's one thing that many people don't realize is what violence really is. So we've sought to redefine what violence is so that people get a better understanding. And it's not the beating, the shooting, or the stabbing. It's all the blank, blank, blank that led up to it. You know, it's about how we're treating each other. It's about restricting people's capacity. It's about restricting people's capacity to achieve all that they can possibly achieve. You know, we're talking about restricting rights, such as a helmet. That's an act of violence.
Right.
And
get away
from Michael's rights. Just
we have another. We have another.
On real simple.
We have
stuff.
Another person that
education.
We get you involved with. We have another
back
person. Her name is Michelle. And
okay.
She does a thing, it's called Rock to Stop the Violence.
Mm-hmm.
And she's out here in
San Diego.
And she just came back from, she had a thing in Las Vegas. They're going to do one in Boston, one in Florida. And I think we got her locked on in New York yet. I haven't confirmed.
I had spoke at that event. I talked about America's Dirty Little Secret.
And what's that? What's America's Dirty Little Secret?
Women that are molested or children are molested by their family members. Nobody wants to talk about it. I gave that presentation in San Diego, and three women came up to me right after, immediately spoke to me, said they never told their family members this. They were molested by an uncle or a father or brother. They never told anybody, and they've lived with this. The next night I went to a big party. At the party, some of the women said to me, "Didn't you make that speech in San Diego?" And I went, "Yeah, but it wasn't an exciting speech, you know. It wasn't recorded or anything." They said, "Other girls talk to us about it. May we talk to you?" The one story I want to share with everybody tonight, though, which has absolutely set me aback, the one girl said she was beaten and raped. And I said, "All right." So I excused my wife. We went and sat down, the girl, and I talked a little bit. And I said, "Did they catch the man that beat and raped you?" She said, "Yes, they did." And I said, "Okay, well, he's put away." She said, "He's put away." I said, "Has your husband, was he productive? Was he there? Was he on your side?" She said, "For 6 months after she came out of the hospital, her husband went to counseling with her. He stood by her side every single day. Then one Monday, he went to work. She packed up her stuff and left the house." So I took a breath, and I said, "Why would you leave a man that spent 6 months trying to help you put your life back together?" He says, "Because I couldn't tell him that when I was being beaten and raped, I climaxed. I've never told anybody." And she said, "Your little story, your little subject America's Dirty Little Secret. I want to talk to you now about it. We talked for some time about it, and I do have a degree in counseling, but I sent her over to women because I believe there's some things women need to talk to women about. I believe I'm very monotone when I talk. I'm very soothing, but still I think there's something that women should talk to women about. Now, the course of that meet the speech I had, Screwdriver and I had no idea the amount of women that be contacting us that are molested by family members. So there are things going on that we try to sweep underneath the rug 20, 30 years
and
ago.
That's, you're right. You're right. And it does us so much harm to do that. And bringing these things out and creating conversations around them, exposing them for what they are, and helping people to appreciate that we need to bring about some real change in our communities and bring about some healing and move forward. And so
I tell the women
that
I spoke to always, you can't love anybody because you don't like yourself. And you're putting blame on yourself what other people did to you. You will. In fact, I asked these girls, have any of you had a successful relationship since you left? And they said to me, no. And every one of them was attracted to a man that abused them. They stayed the same cycle over and over because they never wanted to confront it. But since they brought it out, they are now stepping into the light. They're saying, you know what, from this day on, I'm in charge of my life. But there's a lot of things we really need to do. And if Americans would get together, we don't have to save the world, but look around your own neighborhood. Who can you help? Your neighbor down the street, some old lady, maybe help her take the trash out. Maybe someone needs a ride to the doctor's office. What you're doing in Chicago, we're trying to do a little bit in San Diego, but you and I, we're doing it on a little larger scale, but everybody can help no matter what scale they're working on. I swear to God, we really are
one
planet. What's wrong with everybody? It's only one planet.
And a small one at that.
Exactly. And growing smaller every day.
I agree with what you said. We can all get engaged in creating some type of change in our communities in one manner or another. That's something that all of us can do.
Terry, I want to tell you, maybe I said this before. If not, I apologize. When I moved into my house I'm living in now, we had a street gang. They terrorized the whole community. Nobody did anything about it. When I moved in, they tried to get with some bullshit. I filled the whole street up and down with motorcycles. I went to the street gang and got the street gang broken up, taken apart, thrown out. They're no longer resistant. I asked all the neighbors, why didn't you stand up to the gang? And they said, because everybody in the house, each house, they thought they were isolated from the rest of the neighborhood. I said, we're a neighborhood. You got cars, people on both sides of the street. Didn't feel that they could stand up to them. These are street gang people. And yet people live in a house, didn't want to go next to their neighbor and say, are you okay? This is why we're in fear. It's why we stay inside our houses. Stop it. Go out there. Knock on your neighbor's door. Say hello to people. We are stronger than a street gang, I swear to God. We are stronger than our problems.
Yeah.
House,
and what is
not
that?
Not your neighbor's house.
What is that? What does that acronym mean? Fear. You know, a guy came to my office and told me it means false evidence appearing real. What we fear is not what we should be fearing because it's just propaganda. Like you said, collectively we have the power to bring about any type of change that we want to see in our communities if we all come together on those issues. So addressing that fear factor is important.
Exactly. Screwdriver, who are you trying to bring in here?
No, we got Pete from Boston. I just unmuted him. And he's been
Pete, there. How are you doing? Pete, you still with us?
He's been listening, so he's got any commentary on this.
I'm here, yeah. Hello. Hello.
Speak about what we've been listening to.
Well, I just logged on. I just called in because I just got in about 10 minutes ago. We had to go, Gino and I had to go bail a guy out, a friend who's got arrested on his motorcycle. He was pulled over on his motorcycle, and when they he was speeding, he bumped one of the troopers. He bumped into him. So he got him for assault and battery and a police officer and arrested him, pulled him in, took him in. So we had to drive up to East Bumfuck and bail the guy out, and it was an absolute bogus arrest. The speeding, I can see, is one thing. It's a civil infraction. Give him a ticket. But because the man had long hair and leather and tattoos and a Harley Davidson. He bumped into one of the cop, one of the arresting officers, who was a trooper, state trooper, and they nailed him, they pinned him, and they arrested him for assault and battery and a police officer. But you know what? This will be a great topic for when I call in next week, because I know what, we got 7 minutes left here. But
yeah.
I just got in like 10, maybe 12 minutes ago, and I just said, shit, you know. But we had to bail him out. We didn't want to leave him in jail. He has a family, and it was just an absolute bogus arrest. He didn't hit anybody. He didn't fight. He bumped into the guy. He's a big guy, and the trooper didn't like him and took that as an assault, and obviously he had a record. And I think it should have just been a simple speeding ticket. He was doing 80 in a 65 zone, but it turned into an arrest. So, once again, the stormtroopers of Nazi Germany are at it again, harassing people, and arresting people for absolutely no reason at all. And your friend, whoever's on the line here, said he's right. People fear, we shouldn't be afraid of, like when Hitler was in power, Adolf Hitler was in power, people didn't respect him. They feared him because he had the power to kill. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, we shouldn't respect people because they have guns and it can take away our freedom. We should respect people because of who they are and, you know, the type of person they are and what they do for others.
Well, if you've been watching the news lately, we got a lot of stormtroopers. They call them SWAT teams killing people.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It's insane.
Real quick. Hold on. Everybody hold that thought. Pete, are you there, Pete?
Yes, I am.
No, hold on. Pete in Boston, hold on. This is another Pete in California. Pete.
This is producer, director Pete. This is the man.
Yes, this is producer,
magazine.
Director Pete.
This is the man with a good voice. This is the man. Oh, that, yes, go ahead.
And
I'd like to embarrass Pete.
He wanted to call back in, Bill, because he forgot to say something, so I'll let him say it. Go ahead, Pete.
I like to embarrass him all I can. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi. Anyway, thanks for letting me be on the radio station. It's awesome. Thank you very much. And I just want to give you guys the websites to plug for the Bad Ride, if everybody wants to grab a pen or a keyboard or something. This is the official Bad Ride website. It's just very simple, www.ripsbadride.com. And R-I-P-S, ripsbadride.com. And if you want the advertisement for it, it's on my Biker Event website, which is going to be maintained a little bit better later on. And the website name of that is BikerEventsWorld.com. That's BikerEventsWorld.com. And then if you want to learn a little bit more about my movie that I'm making, you can go to FourWorldPictures.com. That's FourWorldPictures.com. And I just want to say all that for you. And thank you very much for letting me be on the station. I will look forward to be on it again.
Pete, before you go, listen, this is kind of important because I know Screwdriver's wondering, but you and I talked about this, so I know the answer. Pete told me you're in his movie. There's a crowd scene, and if you can stop the film and you get a magnifying glass, you look really carefully, you're way in the back.
Sorry, Pete. Go ahead.
All that love.
Yeah.
Pete, thanks for calling in. We appreciate that.
I think you're in that same scene, too, Bill.
Look for the bald-headed guy with white hair.
The tall, bald-headed guy. You can pick me out of the crowd there like that. But again,
you guys are actually going to be in it this Sunday. If you guys show up, both of you, I am actually going to put you in it. So,
be there.
So, anyway,
I'll be on stage.
I'll be
on stage. Blah, blah, blah. I'll be on stage while they try to throw me off the stage. You know? Wrap it up, Bill.
Well, we're down to about 3 minutes. And what I'd like to do is, Pete, in Boston, I extend the invitation to you next week. Hopefully you don't have to run out and get anybody, and you'll be able to call
earlier.
No,
but that's what I do when a brother needs or somebody needs help. I like to, you know, it took a lot out of me, and it took a lot of my money, but I do what I can, you know, and I definitely will call in on Tuesday.
Okay, and we have, I just brought in Evil Eve from...
Where has he been all night? Where the hell's Evil? Where
hey,
you
how you
night?
Doing?
He has narcolepsy.
Where has he been all night?
Guy's got narcolepsy. He does.
What?
He falls asleep on the radio.
No, actually, I've been house-sitting my mum's place, so that's where I've been. I've been watching TV and looking out.
What did you say, climbing out the back window of your mother's house with the TV? How you doing, buddy?
And then,
yeah, how you doing?
Right,
hang on one second.
Phil's going to close the show, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, Terry, I extended an invitation here on Tuesday, and we just got told we got 90 seconds.
We'll try to see Terry in Vegas, maybe.
We'll be there. We'll be there, but we want to get you involved with Pete on that, too. And then Pete in Boston, I extend a chair to you also Tuesday. And Evil, you know you're always welcome. And Leslie, thank you for calling in. Bill's excited that he heard your voice today. And
now I know about the socks.
Mike's always looking after his mom when I phone in.
I've got a lot of family that are really, sister just passed away. Mom's already picked. It's a lot on me, but you know what? Family takes care of family.
That's right.
So what we're going to do is I thank you guys all for participating, and we extend the invitation to you again. And I picked out a song I think that we all need to hear, and this is by Creedence, and I'll let this take us out. And so good night, everybody, but stick around and here to check out the song.
Thank you for taking the time to call them, guys. You're like a big extended family. It's been a pleasure to meet and talk to everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks. Night, guys.
Good night, Bill. Good night, Phil.
Night, at all.
Good night, all. Sleep tight.